today's shiur is Masechta Gittin Daf Yud Daled. We will begin on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. In the previous shiur, we had discussed that there was a new type of kinyan called Mamet Shloshtan. That if the three parties involved are all together, directives are given, that affects the kinyan. The example we gave was that if someone owes me money, and I tell that individual, instead of giving me the money he owes me, he should give it to someone else. If all three of us are there, it's an effective kinyan. And the Gemara at the end of the shiur, in the previous shiur, gave the reasoning why this works. The Gemara says because when I lend someone money and he obligates to pay me back, he doesn't only obligate to pay me back, he obligates to pay anyone who I designate he has to pay. And the Gemara now, where we pick up, asks on that explanation. Omer of Ashila Meimer, if that's the explanation why a Mamet Shloshtan works, Elmi Ato, Hikn Loi Nodim, Deloi Hava, B'Shas Mat Mos, Hochi Nami Deloi Kanu, which the Gemara means to ask is as follows. We know one of the common concepts that we find in Shas is Ein Adam Makna Dovah Shlo B'Loilam. You can't do a financial transaction on something that doesn't yet exist. So here, if at the time that this loan was originated, the person who I ultimately designate should be the recipient of the money wasn't here, so then how could the Mamet Shloshtan kinyan work? Mamet Shloshtan says that at the moment of the loan originating, and this is what Mefarshim explain our Gemara, that the moment that the loan was originated, at that moment, the new obligation was created to the person that I designate. But that person wasn't necessarily even in the world yet. So how could that kinyan, therefore, be valid if Ein Adam Makna Dovah Shloibah La'olam? Because, as I want to stress, the point is that according to this explanation of Mamet Shloshtan, the Amemer's explanation says that at the time the loan started, that new obligation was sort of created. And how could an obligation to someone who doesn't exist be created? And the Gemara goes further to ask. The filler Ramei, the Omer Adam Makna Dovah Shlo B'Loilam, even Ramei, who's of the opinion throughout Shas, that Adam Makna Dovah Shlo B'Loilam, Hani Mila Dovah Shesh B'Loilam. I could sell, according to Ramei, I could sell something that doesn't exist as long as I, the seller, and you, the buyer, are in existence. Aval, however, in a situation, that if the buyer or the recipient isn't even in existence, even Rameyer will agree that that's not a valid transaction. And that's why the Gemara here has this concern. That's the way, simple way of learning the Gemara. We could take it a step further. Some Rishonim said that the Gemara means to ask, if indeed this is valid, so why do we say throughout Shas, Eidon HaMakna Dovah Shlo B'Loilam, from here we should have a proof that it is valid? It's another way of asking the question. Others explain that the Gemara's question is even deeper, because not only is this transaction being done with someone who doesn't exist, it's actually being done with something that doesn't exist, because the obligation for the payment of the loan wasn't in existence when I made that designation. The obligation only comes when the due date comes. Tosfos asks, we're saying that Rameya holds Ein Adam Makna Lidovish Labalaylam. If the recipient isn't here, then it's not valid. Says Tosfos, the Gemara Masechta Gedushin says that let's say we have somebody who's non-Jewish, and he approaches a Jewish woman and he says, Harei at Mekadeshes Li La'achashes Gair. We should be considered married after I convert. Or an Eved says to a woman, Harat Mekadeshes Li Lachash Shtachrer, you'll be my wife after I'm freed. The Kedushin according to Ramei is valid. It's Lidovish Labalaylam. They're not yet Jewish. So we see there a Ramei holds that even Lidovish Labalaylam, a Kenyan, could be effective. So the Rishonim give two answers. One answer is this Eved, this non-Jew exists. The problem, he's not Jewish. He's not free. But he certainly exists. Here, we're going to be making a kinyan to a person that doesn't exist at all. The cases aren't similar. Another teretz is that the Eved knows his owner told him, I'm about to free you. The non-Jew knows he's about to convert. So even though they maybe haven't yet happened, it's imminent. The person that wasn't born doesn't exist at all. This concept of Ein Adam Machne Davar Shelo B'Lo'olam, very interesting concept. I saw that the Mefarshim asked, how can we say that Ein Adam Machne L'Davar Shelo B'Lo'olam? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu that there's Machnes Kuna, the Kohanim are entitled to all sorts of different matonos for all generations. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told this rule to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Kohanim of all future generations weren't yet here. So how could it be a good kinyan? How could it be considered a valid gift? So the Mefarshim answer that the halacha is that let's say I'm making a kinyan to various people, and some of the people exist and some of them don't exist. Since it's effective for the people that are already here, it's also going to be effective for the people who are not here. So since the din of matnas kahuna was effective for the Kohanim that were then alive, becomes effective even for the Kohanim that weren't alive then yet. And actually, that's pshat in the Pasuk. Because the Pasuk, when it describes the Kohanim, says, Ki nesunim nesunim heimel b'nei Yisrael. The Pasuk used the word nesunim twice. Why does the Pasuk have to use the word nesunim twice? One is nesunim for the Kohanim that are alive, and the other is for the nesunim for the Kohanim that are not yet here, but since it's all one, nesina, it's an effective nesina. So then I saw that the Tzais asks a question. We know that Esav sold the Bechaira to Yaakov Avinu. Now at the time when Esav sold the Bechaira to Yaakov Avinu, Bechaira really didn't mean anything. It was before Kabbalah Satayra. So it's a Davar Shelo B'Lo'olam. So how was the Kinyan made? So the Tzais quotes a Rivash that says that the Halacha, that a Kinyan on a Davar Shelo B'Lo'olam is not valid, only started from Kabbalah Satayra. But this transaction took place before Kabbalah Satayra. This didn't yet apply of Ein Adam Machne Davar Shelo B'Lo'olam. So they explain, that's what the Pasuk says. It says that when Yaakov Avinu made the deal with Esav, what does the Pasuk say? Michra Kayoim Esbecharoschli. What does he have to say? Michra Kayoim, like today. Because Yaakov was telling Esav, you can't, maybe you'll say that the transaction is void because it's a Davar Shelo B'Lo'olam. So Yaakov said it's Kayoim. It's before Kabbalah Satayra, like today. And therefore, even Tzadavah Shelo B'Lo'olam, it's a valid kinyan. Elam Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi looks for another explanation why Mamet Shloshtim works. Says the Gemara, he and no, the Kamishtanele, be Malva Yishona, Lemilva Chadosha, Gomer Meshabet Nafshe. Which means as follows. If you owe money, you owe me money, and the due date comes, and you've owed me this money for a while, it's very likely that I'm going to come to you and say, I need the money now. But if I transfer the obligation to someone else, you're going to be very, very happy with that. Because today is the due date, and today I transferred it to this new person. The person that just got the obligation today is unlikely to come ask for the money today. So that gives the loiver an extension of time to pay the loan. So according to this understanding, very different than the previous understanding, when does the Mamet Shloshtim Kinyan take effect? Not at the inception of the loan, but at the due date of the loan. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Hunam Abarei the Rebbe Nechemi L'Rav Ashi, El Ma'ato, Kigoy Hani Debei Baral Yoshev. It was saying that the entire reason it works, because the person is satisfied, because he has a new person that he owes the money to. So what happens if I transferred the obligation to people like the family of Baral Yoshev, the Kafsi V'Shakli La'Alter, that they're people that won't wait. If the money's due today, the fact that the loan was only, this is the first time they had any relationship to it, doesn't make a difference. They want their money. So then the Mamet Shloshtim shouldn't be working. Because the only reason Mamet Shloshtim was saying is effective is because you get some benefit. The loiver gets benefit, that he has more time. Here he's not going to have any more time. Are we going to say that Mamet Shloshtim doesn't work? If the person that I'm transferring the obligation to is such a person, then Mam Shloshtim doesn't work. Says the Gemara, that can't be. That means we're now going to start deciding when Mamet Shloshtim works, if the person I'm transferring the obligation to is a nice guy, versus if he's not a nice person. In Halacha, everything has to be uniform. So there's an obvious question when we learn this Gemara. Most people in the world are nice. Yes, you'll find people like Baruch Yosef that are tough. And the moment the money is due, they want their obligation paid. But most people are nice. And in Halacha, we always follow the majority of individuals. So why are we using the Baruch Yosef family as our model? So I saw a number of terutzim. One terutz is that this that we don't follow a minority is when the minority is really not a significant population. Baruch Yosef may not be most of the world, but there are many people in the world, there's a substantial amount of people in the world that when money is due to them, they want their money, and they're not going to be nice to wait. That's one teretz. Another teretz that I saw is that what the Gemara means to ask is that, as we said a moment ago, in Halacha, uniformity is crucial. Everybody is different. Some people want the money the day that it's due. Some people will wait a week, and some people will wait a month, and some people will wait a year. So that leaves us with a very uneven and non-uniform situation. And halachas cannot be developed in that way. A third shot is that the Gemara, that's the Havamina and the Maskan of the Gemara. The Havamina of the Gemara is, as we said, that the Mamet Shloshtim only becomes effective at the time when it actually is due. And to that the Gemara says, Mamet Shloshtim should really be effective from the beginning. Suggesting that it's only effective later doesn't make sense. Ella, says the Gemara, why is Mamet Shloshtim an effective means of Kinyan? Om Mazutra. Hani Tlas Mili, Shavinu Rabbanik Ilkhsa B'loi Tamma. The following three rules that Chazal made, there's really no reason for them. And as Tosfos, a combination of Rashi and Tosfos explained the Gemara. Of course there's a reason for every one of the rules. We'll give the reason for every one of the rules. But the very unique reasoning that Chazal applied to these three situations, and it's very interesting. If you look in Rashi, when Rashi says, Shavinu kehilchasa b'loi tama, Rashi says, kehilchasa lakalocha l'moshe m'sinai. What does Rashi mean to say? So the Tshuvas Ramah says a very interesting pshat. He says, what's characteristic of alocha l'moshe m'sinai? When we have halacha l'moshe m'sinai, it means you can't learn from halacha l'moshe m'sinai to any other area of halacha. And that's what the Gemara means to say here. Yes, Chazal made these three rules that we're about to learn. But they're unique rules that cannot be used as model, or they cannot be used as a source to teach us other dinim. Chada is our din, the Mamet Shloshtim is effective. And Tosfos explains, why did Chazal make this rule? Because as we've learned, and will and Mitzvah Shem learn, a kinyan requires all sorts of action. Chazal wanted to make it very simple. And Mamet Shloshtim is a very simple kinyan. As long as all three of us are standing here and we talk, it's enough. So Chazal wanted to make business transactions work easy. Idach, what's the next one? The Omer, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. HaKaisav Kol Nechasav L'Ishtai. If somebody writes over, Shchimera, that writes over all of his assets to his wife, she's really only an apotropos. And there's a lot to say in this halacha. You have here a Shchemira who says that I want my wife to get everything I own. Here the halacha is that she really doesn't get everything. She's only considered an administrator of those funds. How do HaChazal have a right to do that? Because Hefker Bezdin Hefker. Why do they do that? So Chazal assume that no one is about to leave his ears with nothing, and his wife, who al pi halach is not entitled to any Yerusha, should get everything. So, ask the Rashbam and Masechet Babasa, so why did I write it if I didn't mean it? Because this person wants that the Yesaimim, his children, should respect his wife. If his wife controls all of his funds, that's a good way to get respect. However, the Rishonim do say two exceptions to this rule that I saw in the Rishonim. One exception to the rule is that when did Chazal say this rule? If the children that he left are minors, So no person is going to give everything to his wife and leave his children who are ktanim penniless. But let's say his children are already adults, so they're already self-sufficient, then we don't assume that he meant to make her an apotropos. He meant to give it to her. So also say to Rishonim, in a situation where he didn't just say, all right, she should be an apotropos, but he explained what he meant, and it's very clear they really meant that she should get everything, there we don't try to redefine what he said, and she indeed owns everything that he owned. Idach, what's the next halacha? Damar of Chananya. In those times, it was very common that they made the wedding in a house that they owned. And very commonly, the first when they married off, and we'll give all the stipulations in a moment, they gave that house that they owned to the oldest son. And that is, even if he didn't say it, we assume that that happened. But the Rishonim give a number of conditions for this halacha to apply. It's only by the oldest son. It's only if the oldest son is marrying a woman who is a basula. It's only if the oldest son wasn't previously married. It's only if none of the younger brothers got married before the older brother. And it's also only if the father showed that he's not going to stay in that house. He moved out his things from the house. Then we could assume that the father meant to give this son, the home. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Lerv Achabadula, Rav Sat Rav Achabadula, Kava de Marika Isli Gabach. You have a bikadin, some saffron, a spice, by me. Yavel Aploni. I'm asking you to, instead of returning it to me, give it to someone else. And I'm saying it, Apikam in Aloch, I'm telling you, that I'm not going to retract this request. Says the Gemara, Mechlal, by him specifying that I'm not going to retract, what was he obviously trying to say? That had I not specified that I will not retract, the boy Hadar Bey, that if I wanted to retract, had I not made this statement, Matzeh Hadar Bey. But why? This is a Mamet Shloshtan, and we just have been learning for the last 2 days that a Mamet Shloshtan is a full-fledged Kenyan. Says the Gemara, Hachi Kama. What Rav really meant to say is, Dvarm handlalu lo nitul chazara. This is a transaction that I cannot retract on. Why? Because it's a mamet shloshton, and a mamet shloshton is a full-fledged kinyan. Ask the Gemara, if that's what Rav was saying, why do you have to say it? Homer Rav chadazimna, we just learned in the previous shir. Domer Rav hunam Rav, mona li biyotcha, tenei leploini, be mamet shloshton kana. So Rav already taught us that mamet shloshton is a valid kinyan. Why do you have to repeat that then? Answers the Gemara. Yav mihi, if I only would have had yesterday's Gemara, have the minahani mili matan maruba. Where do I have to have a mamet shloshton? Where the gift is a significant gift. When we're talking about an insignificant gift, a little spice, maybe loyla boylefonov, as we spoke in the previous year, for mamet shloshton to be effective, all three of us have to be physically here. Maybe when it's an insignificant amount, we all don't have to physically be here. Kamash malon, that if we want to rely on mamet shloshton, we all have to actually be here. Says the Gemara. There were a group of gardeners who were partners, and they got their proceeds, and they made a calculation. According to the calculations that they made, one had this half a dinner extra by him. So they told him, you got this extra money that you're not entitled to. We rented these fields from a landlord. Give it to the landlord. The Bach adds the taska that he should use to pay off his property tax. And they said this in the presence of the landlord. So we have a situation of a mamet shloshtan. Furthermore, the kodamine, they also made a kinyan chalipin. And the Mefarshim asked, if we've been learning that mamet shloshtan is a full effective kinyan, so why do they have to make a kinyan chalipin on top of the mamet shloshtan? They already had mamet shloshtan. So I saw two answers. One answer is, not everybody comes to the Daf Yomi Shir. So not everybody is aware of the mamet shloshtan kinyan. So that's why they went ahead to make a kinyan chalipin, which everybody is aware of. Another answer I saw is the Mamet Shloshtan only has the ability of creating it to be like a Kinyan Alpeh. They wanted to give it a stronger Kinyan. And a Kinyan Chalipin has the ability to give it the status of a Kinyan Bishtar. So they didn't just rely on the Mamet Shloshtan Kinyan. They also added and made a Kinyan Chalipin. L'soif. So this gardener goes back. That's how people are with their money. L'soif Ozel Ovid Cheshbina B'dein D'lei L'Navshe. He recalculated and he saw the Loi Pashka B'Evelai Midi. They really didn't have any extra. And as Tysus explains, it's not that he just was able to come back and say, I changed my mind. You can't just say you've changed your mind. Either everybody, he showed everybody the Cheshbin, and they said, you know what, he's right, there is no, he didn't get overpaid, or he was able to bring Edim to corroborate that he didn't get overpaid. So Oslo Kamed Rav Nachman, so he came back to Rav Nachman, and he said, do I have to give this money to this landlord or not? Amalei, my Avidlach, I can't help you. Chodo, Dom Rav Huna Marav, that Mamet Shloshtan is a full-fledged Kinyan. Voi, Hakar Malach. You also did a Kinyan Chalipin. So there's no way I can help you. And as Tysus explains, Rav Nachman thought that this person was trying to get out of his obligation. And Rav Nachman said, I can't help you get out of the obligation. So the Rishonim asked, why isn't this person believed he could have had a migui? What was his migui? His migui is, he could have said parati, that I already paid. And it's a migui, so he should be believed when he says that I made a mistake. So there are a number of answers given to Rishonim. One answer is that it's a migui and makam edim. Since he originally had admitted that he owed the money, the halach is that it's hoidos baldin kmei edim dami, and a migui doesn't work with makam edim. Another teretz that I saw, why what he said isn't effective, why it's considered migui b'makom edim, because we said before that when a kinyan chalipin is made, the chalipin creates it to be like a shtar. A migui b'makom shtar isn't an effective migui. I don't have time to review all the mesechta ksubas here. And a third teretz is that it's referring to a situation where there were people that knew that he didn't pay. So he can't say, I could have said I paid, because they knew he didn't pay. Amalei. So, Amalei Rava. So Rava says, Ota, hai mikoma la yivna. Did he say that I'm refusing to pay? The lack of gaboy koma. What he's saying is that it was, I never owed the money in the first place. Amalei, im kain, kinyan betasu. It's a whole new situation. It was made under an error, the kol tinyan betas, a kinyan that was made by mistake, chayza. Says the Gemara, itma. Very interesting situation. I owe you money. And I ask a shliach to take the money on my behalf to you. So we have here a very fundamental machlokes Rav and Shmuel. I'm a Rav, chayiv b'chriusoy. I'm still responsible for the money if anything should happen to it en route from here till it gets delivered. However, on the other hand, v'mbal lachsa en achayzer. I can't retract and say, you know what? Before you give the money to the loiva, I want it back. The Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Mitoich shechay b'chriyosoy, if I remain responsible, v'mbal lachsa en achayzer. If I want to retract, as long as you the shliach, haven't yet given it, I could be chayzer. So the Rishonim discussed this Gemara, very famous Gemara, with some very fundamental questions. The first question is, Rav's position at first glance is very difficult to understand. Because it's really what we don't have in life usually. You have your cake and eat it too. That I can't change my mind, but I am still responsible. Either or. So Rishonim explain, it goes back to a riff, that the Achronim quote this riff, Rishmu Rizovsky quotes this riff. We explained the other day that according to the riff, if I send a shtar shichur to my Eved, he's free, but not free. He's sort of not completely free, because he didn't get the shtar shichur, but he's no longer an Eved, because I already sent him the shtar shichur, and we say, Zochen la'odom, shloi b'fonav. So here we have a similar situation. I started the repayment, and it's no longer mine to retract, but I'm not completely absolved. So why? So Rav Shmuel Rizovsky explains there are two dinim when somebody owes somebody else money. There's one din that I have to pay back. And there's another din that I have to make sure that the money that I'm paying back gets delivered. Two very separate rules. When I appoint you as a shliach to take the money, so I've taken care of the first rule that I paid back. But that has no relevance to the other halacha that I have to make sure that the money gets to you. And therefore, these two rules don't, according to Rav, travel together. But then, the Rishonim ask, we learned earlier in this parak that the halacha is a toifus l'bal choiv, b'mokon shechav l'achrini, that if you grab something on behalf of me, on behalf of the on behalf of the malva, it becomes the malva's. So why is this any different than any situation of a toifus l'bal choiv? So Mefarshim give a number of answers. First of all, some Rishonim say toifus l'bal choiv only works if I appointed the toifus to be a shliach. Here I didn't appoint him to be a shliach. Another teretz, I being the malva. Another teretz that I saw, a toifus l'bal choiv only works when it's really to my benefit. So if you're going to get something, and it could be explained in two ways. If you're going to get something which is truly, I might have never had, and now by you getting it, seizing it on my behalf, I'm guaranteed payment, then you're a Taifas Labachov, you did me a favor. But here I would have gotten it anyway, so I don't need you. Or, we could explain it even deeper, if you're going to take it, you're not going to be responsible for what happens on the road. So a Taifas Labachov is for the benefit of the loiva. Here it's not to my benefit if nobody's going to be responsible for what happens on the road. Or, fourth teretz to this kasha, and we'll leave it with the fourth teretz, is that a toifus l'bal choiv only works if the money is already due. That means, let's say someone owes me money, and the due date comes, and somebody is able to be toifus on my behalf on that day, so he's doing me a favor, and he has a right to do it, as we learned earlier in the parak. But let's say the money's not yet owed, and he's just doing it before the due date. That he certainly has no right. And that's the case here, that the money was sent from the loiva to the malva before it was even due. Says the Gemara, what is the machlokes? Lein b'hakamifki. So before we even explain the Gemara, Tosfos and the Rashba ask an obvious question. What is the Gemara looking to explain the machlokes? Shmuel clearly explained its position, because Shmuel said these two concepts travel together. So why is the Gemara trying to look for an explanation? So Tosfos says we many times find in Shas, an interesting concept Tosfos puts forward, that even though somebody says something, that's not the real reason. And this could be such a situation, that perhaps the machlokes is based on this. The Masover, Rav holds, as soon as I appoint you to take the money to the malva, it becomes the malvas. Or Masover, no, just because I ask you to take the money, lav kaschidami doesn't become the malvas. Says the Gemara Loi. The Kula Alma could hold, as soon as I point you, it becomes the malvus. What is the machlokes? According to Rav, and we explained this beautifully, I think, with Rav Shmuel Rozovsky's explanation, the two concepts of a chrayis and it becomes yours don't travel together, and Shmuel holds, or masover, that they travel together. Says the Gemara, Tanya kavasa de Rav, but here we have an explicit brisa that corroborates Rav's opinion. Hoylich money leplini. If I say, take money to someone, shani chayev loy, because I'm responsible to him, or take money leplini, shani chayev loy, repay the money I owe to this person, hoylich money leplini pekodim shiyeshli biyadi, or return the pekodim that I'm holding your pekodim, and I ask you return the pekodim to the owner of the pekodim, or take money leplini pekodim shiyeshli biyadi, chay bechriyosai. In all these situations, I still remain responsible. However, v'mbo lachser, like Rav said, but if I wanted to go back, ain't a chayzer. Says the Gemara, by a halva, it's correct. Halva, that I have to return, and since, as we explained in the previous year, mevalot sadnetna, I could give it to you to give back on my behalf, and once I gave it to you to give back on my behalf, I can't retract. However, b'kodin, let's say you asked me to hold something on your behalf. That's a b'kodin, right? And then I ask someone to take it back to you. Here, says the Gemara, I should be able to tell him, give it back to me, because I have a very winning argument. I know that the person who owns this object doesn't want anyone else to hold it. A milva, the Rishonim explain I can't make that claim on. Because when you lend me money, you know I'm not going to hold on to the money. If I was going to hold on to the money, why would I borrow money from you? But a Bekadin, I hold just to watch. And I could successfully argue, you know, it came to my mind that this person would never be satisfied that I gave the Bekadin to someone else. And therefore, even if I already gave it to you to return, I could retract. And in fact, the Mefarshim say, now we could understand, because there's a question that the Gemara is missing. The Gemara quotes the Machloikas of Rav and Shmuel. Then the Gemara quotes a Braisa that clearly corroborates Rav's opinion. And what about Shmuel? So Shmuel's going to say that the Braisa is speaking strictly to the case where it's Bekadin. By Bekadin, there's no Machloikas Rav and Shmuel, and that's why the Braisa is not a question on Shmuel. However, Amar of Zera, when can, if you, let's explain the Gemara this way. If you left the Bekadin by me, even if I now send it back to, with someone else, the halacha is I could always retract. Why? I could always say, however, in a situation where I'm a person that the person who owns the object no longer trusts, so I can't say that the owner of the object doesn't want it by anyone else, because he doesn't want it by me either, because he doesn't trust me. Says the Meiri, very interesting Meiri, beautiful pshat. He says, it's only if I became a kafrin, if only I got a bad reputation, after you left to be cotton by me. So then I can't say, you know, he trusts me, he doesn't trust you. He doesn't trust me. But let's say I had the bad reputation when you left it by me. You obviously don't consider me a bad person. Because if you consider me a bad person, why would you have left it by me in the first place? And then I could continue to say, even though I'm a kafirin, en ritzon yishev b'gdoni b'yadachar. However, the Rishonim say that, let's say I have a bad reputation. But the person I'm sending you with, I have a chus to kafirin. But the person I'm sending with is also kafirin. So maybe then I could still say, because the messenger is no better than the sender. Say the Rishonim can't say it. Because you know what? Maybe the messenger will be better than me. However, the Rishonim say that even though the Gemara is suggesting, hopefully I have a good reputation, that even though if I'm not a chus to kafirin, I can't say let's say I know that the person who owns the object has confidence in the shliach. And this is a perfect introduction to our next Gemara. Then I have no right to say, because I do know that the owner of the object trusts this messenger. And says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Sheshes Havlei Asharta Desarbali Mechuzah. Rav Sheshes had some coats that he left as a bekadin by people in Mechuzah. So he said to Rav Yosef Bachama, Bahadi the Osis, you're going to Mechuzah anyway. Please bring back these coats on my behalf. So the Shoimer gave it to Rav Yosef. And the Meiri explains, it wasn't that I appointed Rav Yosef, it wasn't that Rav Yosef was appointed a full-fledged Shliach. Because he was appointed a full-fledged Shliach, then the moment that he picks it up, case closed. He was just asking him, if you can, please bring it. Amalei, however, the Shomer asked Rabbi Yosef, Nitnu Menach, are you going to make a kinyan that you take responsibility for it? Amalei in. Yes, I'll make the kinyan. L'soif ishtamet lehu. And then he didn't actually fulfill his commitment to make the kinyan. And the Yavet says, why not? Because he was really doing this person a favor, that he was getting the coats back. And when you're dealing with a person who's not an honest person, you could act accordingly. And therefore, even though Rabbi Yosef committed to make a kinyan, he didn't follow through. Ki osel gabei amalei, when he came back, he said, Shapa avdet lo shavet nafshach. You did a smart thing by not making the kinyan. Eved loy v'lishmava. Because if you made the kinyan, you'd be responsible. Why would you want to take this responsibility on yourself? Lishnachrina, another version of what he said to him. Shapir avdit. Eved loy v'lishmava. I, the Shomer, have responsibility. You're smart. Why should you take my responsibility? Why should you let me off the hook? I don't have time to explain, but Ram Shik says the difference between these two lishoinis revolves around what is the halacha. Very interesting halacha, Shail. This I do want to mention. If I appoint, I owe you money, and I ask a messenger to take the money back on your behalf, back to you. Their halacha is that even if an oinus happens along the way, I'm responsible. On the other hand, by a pekodin, if an oinus happens along the way, I would not be responsible. Says the Gemara. Interesting Gemara. Rav Acha bar Yoshe Havelei Ispika de Kasper Nador. He had some money in the Hador. He told these two individuals, when you're going to Nador, please bring it back on my behalf. And again, I repeat the Miri. It wasn't that they were completely appointed as Shlichim. So they went and got it from the person that was holding it. But the person who was holding it said, I want a Kenyan that you're taking responsibility. No, we're not willing to take that kind of responsibility. So he said to them, if so, then I don't want you to be the messengers. Give it back to me. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef said, okay, I'll give it back to you. Case closed. Rabbi Yosef Akiva Amalu Loy. I will not give it back. I took it, and I'm not giving it back. You have no right to retract. And as the Mefarshim explained, because obviously the person that was originally holding it was a person that wasn't a trustworthy person, and therefore he didn't want to give it back to him. Says the Gemara. Have a kamatsarale. So they were hitting Rabbi Yossi. These people were obviously tough people, and they were very upset at Rabbi Yossi Bakipa, who was refusing to give it back, so they started to hit him. Amale, so Rabbi Yossi, they said to Chazamar Hechig Ovid, so these people who were hitting Rabbi Yossi said to Rabbi Stoy, do you see how Rabbi Yossi is behaving? Amalu, so he said, Tov, Ramalu, you're doing good. You did the right thing to hit him. Or Rashi says another pshat, keep on giving him pech. Ki asl gabei, now they come back home. Now they come back home to Rav Acha bar Yoshe. Amalu, so he said to him, Chazimar, I want you to hear what happened here. Rav Yossi says to Rav Acha, Loi mistayid loi misayon, not only didn't Rav Destoy help me, he told them, you did the right thing that you're hitting him. That's your friend. So Rav Acha asked Rav Destoy, why did you act this way? Those people, they were very tall people. This is where Rashi learns. The Koven Amma, and they wore very big hats. Masha explains it differently. They were very short. But a short person that wears a very big hat looks very imposing. And they speak from the stomach, that a very deep voice, very imposing. Even their names are frightening. Arda v'arta, upili, b'reish, oimrim. They're very frightening names. Oimrim, if they would say, kfusu, if they tell somebody should be tied up, kaivsin, they tie him up. Amrim Haroigu, if they say somebody should be killed, Hogan. And that's why I was frightened, and that's why I didn't fight. I was frightened and I didn't fight. And he said, because Ilu Hargo has to stoy, because I was scared they're going to kill me. And if they were going to kill me, Minosin Liani Ababak Maisi, my father wouldn't have me. And that's why I didn't fight. So there's two interesting pshatim that I saw in this Gemara. One is, Why was he saying, if I would have gotten killed, my father would have been at a loss? And otherwise you're ready to get killed? So it's so beautiful pshat. A chassid, what's the definition of a chassid? A chassid goes l'fnim mishuras adin. But he doesn't go l'fnim mishuras adin at the expense of anyone else. So if Dostoy was saying, I might have been ready to be ma'isa nefesh. But if I would be ma'isa nefesh, my father would have suffered. That's not chassidus when it's on the cheshbon, when it's on somebody else's account. The Mefarshim, the Gra, also says from here's a raya that you're allowed to mention your father's name as long as you identify him as your father. And that's why he said, Yanai Abba. However, there are paiskim that disagree. And they say that you can mention your father's name, but you can only mention your father's name when you say Abba first, not if you say Abba second. So we have a big question here. Here he said, Liyanei Abba. According to those Paiskim, he should have said, Abba Yanai. So I saw very interesting teretz. You only have this issue that you have to identify your father as your father out of respect when you're referring to your father. But if you're really referring to yourself, and you're only using your father as a mean of identifying yourself, the question comes up very often. Rav Avadya Yosef discussed this. Where did the question come up? Let's say somebody calls you up, they come over to you in shul for an aliyah, and they ask you your name, and you say, my name is Avram ben Yitzchak ben Avram. So it's your father, you're not allowed to say Avram. But really, the only reason you're mentioning your father's name is not to identify your father. You're identifying yourself. There it's mutter. Amalei b'nei Adam halalu. So he started quizzing them. He's quizzing him. Krevel machatein, are they, do they have government connections? Amalei hen. Yesh lem susim b'pradim, do they have horses? Shirotz machreim, amalei hen. Amalei hechei shapra abdis. So Farshim asks, why do you have to ask all these questions? So the simple pshat in the Gemara is that he really wanted to make sure what he was saying was accurate, that they are frightening people. Another pshat that I saw is, in those times, the mark of an important person is if he had horses and wagons. And the third pshat, he says, you know, why did you just give in? You should have run away. So he says, I couldn't run away because they had susim aprodim, they would have caught me. So the Chassam Sofer and others ask, there's a Gemara that says, Oslo Adam Shiyatzel Atzma Mamam Chaveri. I'm not allowed to use your money to save myself. So here Rav Dostoy was using Rav Acha's money to save himself. It's not mutter. So I saw two answers. One answer is with Sakonas Nefashis. Just then, that Oslo Adam Shiyatzel Atzma Mamam Chaveri is certainly not in the situation of Sakonas Nefashis. Another terrace that I saw is, Oslo Adam Shiyatzel Atzma Mamam Chaveri is that if I'm in danger, I can't take your assets to protect myself. But here, what was causing the tsaris? That's other person's money. Then I'm allowed to use your money to save myself because your money got me into the trouble in the first place. Says the Gemara. Halach mana leplani. I ask you to take a mana to this individual. For halach biksheva lemitso. And he found, and he ran to take it, and he doesn't find it. Tani chada. So one brisa says, yachsru l'mishaleach. The money should be returned to the sender. For tani idach. It should be given to the yarshim of the receiver. And the Gemara offers a number of explanations on how to understand these machloikas. And the Mefarshim explained there's really no machloikas in halacha. Each pshat could accept the other pshat. The masava hoylech kischi, and therefore the moment that I sent the money to with a shliach on your behalf, it becomes yours, and if you're not here, it goes to your yarshim. Or Masover, Halchlav Kaschi, and until it arrives, it's not yours. Amar Rav Abba Bamamel, no. The Kul Alma, everybody could agree, Halchlav Kaschi. Until it gets there, it's not yours. V'loi Kasha. Habibari, by a well person, you have to make a kinyan, and there was no kinyan. So it's not the recipient's until he actually receives it. Habishchimera, that we've been learning, Divrei Shchimera, Kiksuvim Kamasurim Dami, and as soon as he says it, it becomes effective. Rezid Amma, Rezid gives a different explanation. Hava b'shchimera. We could say both prices are referring to shchimera. Ha de isl makabel b'shas matmos. If the recipient was still alive when I gave it to the messenger, so becomes his because the shchimera kiksuv miksurim dami. Ha de leisl makabel b'shas matmos. But if, unbeknownst to me, the person who I sent the money to was not alive when I asked the shliach to take it to him, so it's a kinyan betos, and therefore it goes back to me. Had the lessel b'kavim b'shas matmos. The Machna Ephraim makes a very interesting observation. He says that the Rishonim say that the concern here is that it's a kinyan betos. Says Machna Ephraim, why does the Gemara say a different thing? Ain kinyan lachamisa. So he says the fact that the Rishonim don't say that. Says the Machna Ephraim, from here we see that you can even make a kinyan, a person who's no longer alive, is still a Baal kinyan on behalf of his yarshim. Rapapama hava habibari. You could explain both are referring to a healthy person. Hodemis mekabel b'chayin noisin. One case is that the mekabel was alive when the noisin sent it to him. Hodemis noisin b'chayin mekabel. And the explanation is as follows. If when the person who designated the money to go to this recipient, the recipient was alive, even if the sender dies before the recipient actually receives the money, it makes no difference, even though there was no kinyan. Why? Because the halacha is, and this begins the sugya that we're going to start in tomorrow's shir, a mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. So even though the sender is no longer alive, his yashim still have an obligation to fulfill his wishes. If, however, on the other hand, the mekabel, the recipient, died before the sender, so then it was never his, there was never a kinyan, and there is no mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, because the nisan was still alive before the mekabel died. And therefore, there, it goes back to the nisan.